means an awful lot to the parish. I suppose football is at the core of the parish.
This is our dream. I'll retire a happy man whenever that is, but I don't care. I have a championship medal now and I treasure this as much as a senior title.
They could always question all the hunger there, but I don't think there's any doubt about hunger.
We put on the jerseys and up to Julian's, but it's...
He was a man that was striving that on, so he was. And I hope we made him proud today.
That was the plan. No matter what went on beforehand, we were going to be here at the last hurling day in Sligo, collecting that trophy. It's our first. It won't be our last.
Hello and welcome along to another edition of Ocean FM Sports Glory Days podcast. On this week's episode, we're going to focus on a remarkable run for St. Nathie's in 1999 as they collected Sligo and Connacht titles on their way to the All-Ireland Junior Club Final. I'm delighted to say we're joined by four of the players, captain of the team Angela Doohan, Kathleen Kane, Michelle McGowan and Katrina Connolly, as well as the manager Lee McDonough. Folks, you're all very welcome to the podcast 22 years on from this big year for you all. Angela, for you, it must have been nice to have been captain in such a successful year.
Yeah, I suppose it was the first time I was captain of the senior team. And I guess I was just very lucky that we had such a successful year. We got to the kind of final and we won it that year against St. Bridget's. And I suppose we had been in a kind of final 2 years previous, I think, to Aughawillan, and we lost by a point. And so it was great to get to another final and to win it. We won it well that day. Captain Kane was on fire that day.
probably the best game I ever played for St. Nathie's, but the one and only.
A good time to do it. But what about the Michelle? The interest it brought to the area and the excitement it brought to the area, because unfortunately it's not that often that Sligo teams at county level or club level get to All-Ireland finals, but for a rural couple of parishes in South Sligo to get there must have been huge for the area.
It was, I suppose, at the time St. Nathie's was kind of riding on the crest of a wave. The underage had been really successful. They had won 314 in a row and something similar with the under 14, and Katrina and Trace Devaney were part of the minor team that had won 5 in a row and the 5th just a few weeks prior to us winning the county final. So I suppose we had some success, and this was our 4th county title, so we had a lot of support built up among the 3 parishes at the time, and we had some very, very loyal supporters. Family, of course, burned to the front in that, but we had a good following, and their voices were heard, and were heard when they were needed in some tight situations in some of the games. It brought a great buzz to the 3 parishes at the time.
And I know all of you have played county football at various stages. Katrina, how does success with the club compare and getting to an All-Ireland final compared to successes with Sligo?
Oh, I suppose with your club it's different. It's your friends, it's the ones you went to school with, so it is completely different. But as Michelle was saying, the whole community thing, actually one of the memories I have of 99 is finding fertiliser bags, white ones, and going over to Trace Devaney's house and painting them, one half of them red. And then my mother driving us along the roads of the parish, the Sligo Road, nailing these plastic bags on the electricity poles. And it was, I suppose, that was such a buzz. And we were at that for a couple of weeks, I think. And that's probably one of the memories that stand out the most. And actually, Shania Twain.
Yeah.
That song.
Shania Twain.
How could we forget that?
Yeah.
It was. Well, actually, Angela sent me a picture of her scrapbook. I actually don't have anything in Galway. It was all at home. And some of it was a bit of a blur, so I don't even remember much today. I know it was very windy.
Yeah.
That's nearly all I remember of it. It was just so windy, and I think we were very unlucky. That's football.
Yeah, yeah. Liam, you were a manager at the time. Starting out at the start of the year, did you imagine that anything like this was possible?
To be honest, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, as Michelle said, we were on the crest of a wave. I mean, we had huge success underage and the adult team. We were going for 4 in a row. But I mean, the club were young. You know, the club was founded in 93. Ladies football was young in Sligo. So I don't think anybody had, you know, any realistic idea that a club from Sligo, never mind from Connacht, was going to go the whole way to an All-Ireland junior club final. Obviously, 2 years previous, you know, we had been a final bet by a point by Aoife Whelan. So we knew we had the talent. But, I mean, we were an extremely young team. I think I read something, 13 of the panel, and I think we had a 23 of a panel, which in today's terms is just unheard of.
Yeah.
But something like 13 of that panel were minors. So, I mean, you know, we were really, really young. So getting to the Connacht final was probably a bonus. Definitely winning it, I mean, it was just, you know, delight. It was a super occasion.
Yeah.
I remember winning in Markovitch Park against probably a very fancied St. Bridget's team. We won it something like 3-11 to 3 points. Really, really convincing win. And, you know, the support that we had behind us at that stage was just growing. And, you know, it was a great occasion. It was a great occasion for the girls and for ladies football in the county in general.
Yeah. Like, Kathleen, if I could take it back prior to 1999, and obviously Liam has mentioned it there, that ladies football was in its infancy, never mind the clubs that were playing ladies football at the time. But I think we've done a couple of these podcasts. Shamrock Gales ladies team and Eastern Harps ladies team back in 93 and 94 were kind of the standard bearers at that time. When did St. Nathie's start to enter the conversation?
Well, I suppose we were there from 93, but it probably took us a couple of years to find our feet. And like, as the guys have said, you know, once we started in 96 winning county finals, to win five senior titles in a row, like, was some accolade. But I'd say what a lot of people nowadays kind of can't equate to the fact that I know it was only 21 years ago, but there was no such thing as social media back there.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, I remember Barry O'Neill was working for Northwest Radio at the time, actually. And Barry, if it wasn't for him and the covers that the radio station gave us and the local print media, like, there was no such thing as Facebook, Instagram, nothing like that. Mm. I think when Katrina said her little story there about the fertilizer bags, I remember, and in fact, if I was to look at it now in my dad's garage at home, there's still a 4x4, it was an election placard that was taken down off a pole, and it was painted white, and good luck St. Nathie's on it. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about. You're not, you know, a sponsor, a player, or anything that goes on nowadays on Facebook and live streaming. You know, if you got to the game, great, you got to see it. But if you didn't, you didn't hear it on the radio. You didn't hear it anywhere. So, yeah. You know, it might sound like it was prehistoric, but it is only 21 years ago. But it just goes to show you know, how far ladies football has come in that 21 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Angela, don't you have a record of sorts in that you've played every year of football in Sligo so far?
I have, I'm afraid, yes. I suppose I started under 14 in 1993, and I'm still carrying on for a minute.
It's remarkable. It's remarkable. And you were there for St. Nathie's last year as well. And we should mention you have a Connacht senior final to look forward to, please God, whenever we can get back to playing football. But if we can go to the 97 final, folks, ladies football is in its infancy. Winning a county title is a big deal at that stage. Getting to a Connacht final, Michelle, in 97, that must have really set things in motion, did it?
It did. I suppose it was new to us. We were the second year winning the county title, and I suppose we had learned from the previous year. The whole Connacht final experience was a new thing for us. And Aoife Whelan, we would have known Aoife Whelan quite well. We would have known the Quinn sisters and, you know, the force that they were, Eamon McGlade, etc. And, I mean, we were probably the underdog certainly going into that game, but we acquitted ourselves very well, losing just by a point. And I suppose the bitterness and the disappointment from that day was something that drove us on in the future years. And I suppose the hope was to try and, you know, get over the next hurdle.
Yeah. So what happened immediately after then in 98? Can anyone remember Connacht? You obviously won the Sligo Championship, but what happened in terms of Connacht in 98? Can anyone remember?
Oh, actually, I was trying to find that out, and I've no recollection. I remember the Aoife Whelan game in 97, but I've no recollection of where we went in Connacht in 98.
Who did we beat in 98 in the county final? Was it Harps or was it Shamrock Gales?
No, it was Turles Strand Clún na Cúil as well, I think.
Yeah, I think it would have been.
Okay, so you obviously had the experience at 97, Liam. From a management point of view, were you talking then in terms of the years after that, were you talking beyond county titles when you sat down, say, for a chat at the start of the year, or what were you aiming for?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's a very, very different scenario from today. I mean, you know, you took it one match at a time. You probably weren't looking at even county finals. Once you got to your county final, obviously the target was to win it, and then you were really in bonus territory. You know, I know probably club players don't look that way today, but, you know, that's where it was back in 99 and that. I mean, the whole setup was very different. You know, strength and conditioning was never even heard of. I'm not sure, did we have... Yeah, we probably had a physio the day of the final. That was about it. But, you know, it was a very, very different setup completely. I remember for the 99 Connacht final was the first time the club got tracksuits. And, you know, that was a huge occasion. We were all kitted out in the same tracksuit. And, my God, that was, you know, we just thought we were the bee's knees back then. You know, it's just amazing when you look back and look at the setup nowadays, how things has changed. But no, definitely you were never talking about Connacht finals. You were talking about one day at a time.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the management point of view. Katrina, was there a different sense amongst the players? Was there any talk of a Connacht campaign, or did you expect it?
I suppose, like Liam said, we took it one game at a time because you can't think too far ahead, because sometimes it won't get you the ball at that hurl. So I suppose it was all, now that actually you said that the game was in Markfridge Park against Bridget, actually I have a memory, Kathleen throwing the gloves, yeah, for one of the penalties. But I don't remember the All-Ireland semi-final. Did we get...
We didn't play one.
No, and I think we were on a little bit of a high that we got to the All-Ireland. I can't even remember some of it. So,
yeah.
I'd say we were just going to go and we were going to give it our best shot.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Well, did you feel, Kathleen, during the Sligo campaign, for example, did you feel like something good was brewing in the background?
Well, you see, what success breeds success. Do you know, and each game we won, you know, you were kind of anticipating the next one and you were thinking, well, you know, if we get past this, where do we go? Like, it's amazing. Like, when you have a good game, you know, you're always judged on your best games. And that particular, the Connacht final that year that we played St. Bridget's was either 2-5 or 2-6. And as I said at the start, it was probably the best game I ever played in either a Sligo jersey or a Nathie's jersey. But, you know, I unfortunately wasn't able to replicate that after that. So, you know, I suppose the players picked up what the message the management was sending to us all along, in that you play to win and you play one game at a time. Mm. You know, because your head could run away with you if you move too far ahead.
Yeah. Like, Angela, I guess St. Nathie's had established yourselves as the Sligo kingpins at that stage. Were there a couple of clubs within the county trying to take you down? Was the Sligo campaign tough?
There probably was, yeah. Was it Clonacool, Tullystrand amalgamated? So they would have been tough opposition. And at that stage, Eastern Harps were always we always have a good battle against them. Mm. So we always had strong competition within the county. I suppose that stood to us as well when we did go out into Connacht and that. Mm. But our underage was used to have good competitions as well. As we said, we won the 5 in a row. So it was nearly like the same team was playing, a lot of the same team was playing minor and then playing the junior as well. So they were getting a lot of match practice and good games in at the time. So there was plenty of competition within Sligo.
Can anyone remember the county final itself that year?
Yeah, I remember that. It was Tullystrand, Clonacool we were playing. I have a few memories of that game. One in particular, Yvonne Roddy, our wing back, was working in pontoon and missed the team picture. And she travelled from pontoon with one of the Tullystrand, Clonacool players. And they actually ended up playing, marking each other on the day, which added, I suppose, a little spice to the game. But I think we were a little bit fortunate in that game. I recall at one stage we were attacking and the goal was a goal opportunity and it looked like it was going wide, but it actually deflected off one of the Clonacool players, the unfortunate Christina Johnston, who was a wonderful player. And we got a goal that day, that goal, and it kind of set us up and set the momentum going for the rest of that game. And like, it was always nip and tuck with Clonacool, fierce rivals on the field, but great friends off the field. But, you know, those type of tight games, nip and tuck, really stood to us down the line.
It's funny, when Michelle mentions that about Yvonne, I recall that, but I have no recollection of the actual game itself, but I do remember Yvonne travelling and missing the photograph that day. It's funny, because once we went into the Connacht campaign, you know, I can remember the Connacht campaign and the All-Ireland series, but not the county final.
Yvonne made a mark on that year, all right. Remember in the Connacht final, Yvonne always used to, was always playing in backs, and she never used to score too often, but Yvonne always seemed to score a goal at vital times for us in vital matches. And she got a very important fluky goal in the Connacht final, which set us on our way, and we got two goals after that. Because of the 2 years previous, she scored a goal in a county minor final, the last kick of the game, we won by a point. So Yvonne has a habit of doing things like that.
Wow. Just to pick up on the point there that Liam said about, you know, we might have been lucky if we had a physio for the final. I think we'll all agree that Michelle McGowan had the best healing powers from injuries. There was more games she got injured in, and she continued to play through the pain barrier. If it was nowadays, somebody would be out for 6 weeks. I mean, Michelle was just, you know, an incredible, a battler, you know, a real warrior on the field, and left nothing but 100% there.
Thank you, Kathleen. Very complimentary there.
She also had a unique ways of doing the splits in most games. We missed that, Michelle, now.
Yeah.
Not what I want to be remembered for, Liam.
I think you were a bit of a gymnast, really. Privately, you were a bit of a gymnast.
Yes, indeed.
Katrina, if I can bring you in there, I suppose this is a team so that's well used to winning county titles at that stage. So I know sometimes teams can be content with that, but I guess for St. Nathie's at that stage, once the county campaign was over, I'm sure it was attention straight then onto the Connacht Championship, was it?
Yes, it was. Either had the preliminary round or you had a semi-final to play in. So I suppose once you get a taste of success, you just want to improve on it. So lucky enough, 99 was probably one of the best years, I think, with St. Nathie's. You know, the All Ireland, and it is, looking back now, it's probably one of the most memorable ones. All right,
yeah. With
all the community getting involved, and there was just such a lovely buzz around the area.
It was probably the first time there was a buzz in the area about ladies football. Because everybody was getting involved in it, and you know, people were wishing you good luck and things like that. So it was probably the first time there was a buzz about ladies football.
And Angela, was the playing group quite driven then, so to make their mark in Connacht then once the Sligo campaign finished?
We would have been, yeah. As I said, I suppose we got to Connacht final 2 years previous. So that was in the back of our minds that we lost that only by a point. So we knew we were able to do it. And I think it was Cara Finn we beat in the Connacht semi-final. Yeah, not sure by how much. So you know, it always was very good to go and beat a Galway team, because Galway team was always very strong. So then St. Bridget's, and they were a very fancy team to beat us that day. But thankfully, everything went our way on the day.
Yeah. So on that Cara Finn match, folks, any memories?
I actually remember it being very tight. You know, that I suppose if it was a bit cagey at the start of the game. And I remember Katrina pulling off a wonderful save, and Adele Kane in particular, driving out from full back, and or for centre back, and really, I suppose, driving the midfield and forwards on that day. I really remember that the backs, Katrina in particular, you know, shouting the orders and getting us into the position.
Wouldn't be like that.
It was always not always nice all the time either.
Silent night.
But it was needed. We needed that at times, you know, to get us back into our positions. And you need someone, the general in the back line there, give us the orders. But I do remember that game being tight. And I think the fact that it was so tight, it stood to us in the Connacht final. And we were expecting a much tougher assignment in the Connacht final. And that really didn't. It was Kathleen getting 2-5 helped the cause a great deal that day. But yeah, the Curragh Finn game was a good game. It stood to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Alan says, to get a win over a Galway team. So you're into the Connacht final again, Kathleen. Is this when the hype kind of around the area starts to really drive up a little bit?
Yeah, undoubtedly. You know, as I say, when you go back to the print media, like the Sligo Champion and the Weekender and Northwest Radio at the time, you know, had you know, interviewed some of the players, and there was lots of photographs of games. And, you know, it's amazing even when I look back now. I mean, you're only talking about, to watch some of the games, you're talking about videotapes. In fact, I have Shell's videotapes. and since COVID started, I've been struggling to try and get somebody to even convert the videotapes to CDs. You know, because we don't have video recorders anymore. The thing is that when Edel and I played, I suppose we were a little bit removed from the St. Nathie's catchment area, but we would have been, nowadays I suppose we'd be on more Gales players, but because St. Nathie's had started beforehand, we joined with St. Nathie's. That's where we started playing our ladies football. So, you know, the lead up to all of these games, you know, we still weren't in the centre of the parishes. We were a little bit outside, but we nonetheless were quite well aware of what was going on. And I mean, literally in those years, I mean, we lived in each other's pockets. I mean, we trained. If you weren't playing training for the club, you were training for the county. You know, we could have been training like 5 nights a week, definitely. I don't know how we did it. I don't know how our bodies did it. And I don't know how Angela is still playing, because my knees gave in a long, long time ago.
It's funny when you're talking about the hype. I just remember the Connacht final. Noel Gormley, our current player, myself and Rachel Galler were training the under-12s in the club that year, and we were training Noel. And I remember she rang me up saying, could she get a lift the match to the Connacht final? So herself and her brother were in the car with my mum. And it's funny to think that she's still playing with us now. And I remember she wouldn't go home. She wanted to come to the celebrations afterwards.
Very good.
Some things never change with Noel.
No.
Liam, from a management point of view, I suppose that hype can be a little difficult to manage, can it? Or how did you remember that?
Yeah, the hype, I think, you know, in fairness to the girls, I mean, they were very focused on where we were going at that stage. I mean, they had been quite successful, so in their eyes, it was another game. And I think, you know, even though they were a very young panel, I think, you know, they stayed away from most of the hype. Naturally enough, I mean, the paper and this, you know, they saw the articles on it. But as Kathleen said earlier, you didn't have this glut of social media that we have now. So it was easier to keep them, their heads down. Right. I suppose it was harder to organise training and aspects of the game like that, because we didn't have the same methods of communication. But I think once we got to the Markridge Park, the other kind of final, I mean, the girls were, everybody was just focused on one thing, and that was winning it. And yeah, it was great. It's a great memory, you know, the game. We expected something very tough from St. Bridges that never materialised. And I think one of my happiest memories of that game was towards the end of the game, when we had the game won. Trace Devaney had been a key player on the team all year, and Trace had broken her arm, I think it was, or some injury anyways. I think it was in the, I think it was the county finals.
Yeah.
And I mean, Trace was a huge loss to us. Yeah. And I'm not sure had she had cast on, but she definitely shouldn't have been on the field of play, I do know. But with about 10 minutes to go, I put Trace on as a sub, and the message that I sent in to all the forwards was, and I think the St. Bridges people thought this fellow was gone daft, was don't pass the ball to Trace. And when you have a manager shouting, don't pass the ball, it either, you know, I'm not sure what message was given, but yeah, I know it was great to get Trace actually onto the field of play and give her a few minutes in a Connacht final. But yeah, it was funny when I look back on it. I don't think I'd do it if it was today. But, you know, the game was won at that stage, but it's a great memory to have.
Yeah, like it's a funny situation for players to be in, isn't it, that you've got it feels like you have a match sewn up fairly early on, and that's what happens against St. Bridges in the final. But Katrina, when you're on the field and you're looking out at the players in front of you, do you feel like you have the match won early on, or was there a point in the match when you felt, yeah, you know, we've got this?
No, because a goal can change a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you get one, you can get two, you can get three. And it's, Well, for me, standing in goals, it's like when you see one going in down the other side, it's like, okay, this is good. I've got a bit of breathing space here. But when you see another one and another one, it's like, it's great. But now I have to keep them out to keep us in the game. But
you had a good set of backs in front of you.
Yeah, I did. We all had a great relationship as well. Do you know? They all listened to my shouting anyways. Because he had no choice. But... yeah, like Rachel Galler was in full back and she was absolutely super. I loved having her there. And I think I read Louise Gormley was cornerback for the All-Ireland. Yanni Vaughan. Michelle, were you in midfield or were you centre back those days?
I was centre forward, would you believe, that day.
Oh, you were going way away from me, so.
Wow. Not my usual hunting ground, but that's where I was.
Yeah, so like, yeah, well, I suppose we'd won so much underage and we were all still together that
it was
good.
Yeah, so when the game is ticking towards those last 3 or 4 minutes and you're in an unassailable lead at that stage, Kathleen, what do you remember have been the feeling of emotion on the field at that stage?
Oh, I mean, look, it was just complete elation, but like as the girls have said, you know, it doesn't matter how much you're winning a game by, you know, you have to wait for the final whistle because things can happen. Goals can turn games. So while we won the final that year, while it was a convincing victory, do you know, I mean, the scoreline didn't indicate the effort that was required for the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, that you look back on certain games and you definitely know that you have an element of luck. You know, the ball goes to the right, you need a point and the ball goes to the right side of the post. And there are other days then that it just doesn't happen for you. And, you know, I just remember about the All-Ireland final that year. I felt it just didn't happen for us. We just didn't perform as we should have and what we had built up towards. But, you know, we take the good times. Mm. And, like, you know, for a club team to reach an All-Ireland final back then, it was the first time that it had happened in Sligo. So, I mean, obviously we were going to try and make the most out of it.
Of course, yeah. Like, Michelle, can you let yourself go then in the Connacht final when the final whistle does sound? What do you remember the scenes afterwards?
Oh, it was just unbridled joy. Like, I suppose you're building yourself up for the days and weeks before that. I remember the weekend before that, or maybe one or two weekends before that, we had gone to Dublin for the Club Sevens and we had had a great experience there. We had acquitted ourselves very well. And we'd gone to the All-Ireland final. Mayo had won that year. And, you know, we'd been quite familiar with a lot of those Mayo girls in the IT. Angela and Katrina, you'd have known those girls. And I'd have known some of them from Galway. And we would have played Holly Mount, the home team of the Heffernans. So I suppose we kind of wanted to emulate them and wanted to achieve what they had achieved. So when that final whistle went, it was an amazing, amazing scene. Like, family, friends, neighbours all rushing onto the field. Just, you know, a sea of elation, really, and jubilation. It was just unbelievable. I suppose a sense of relief as well, yeah. Because I suppose you can't allow yourself to, you know, think that you have won until the final whistle goes. But, yeah, amazing. It was a really, really wonderful day, wonderful occasion for, I suppose, the three parishes and all the families and friends. And I suppose it was something, you know, that you look back on with pride, because there was a lot of people who had gone before us, a lot of managers and the people who had set up the club, and you kind of feel that, you know, you've paid them back in some way, you know, for taking the chance with the club. The late father Paddy Kilcoyne, you know, set up the club in 1993, and I suppose he was someone with great vision and foresight to, you know, take on a ladies club, our first manager, and we had James Finan. And all the ladies who were the, you know, the officers, Breed McDonough, Mary Kane, Marie O'Donnell, all those people. And those girls played as well as were the officers. So I suppose you feel like you had repaid them in some way with a Connacht title. And they were there on the day and they, I suppose, enjoyed the experience and the win as much as we did. It was as much for them as it was for us. Yeah, certainly a wonderful occasion. Mm.
Angela, as captain, to lift the cup, but then also to bring it back to the club area. What's that like?
It was great. As Michelle said, yeah, lifting that cup, it was great. It was a sense of relief as well. I think I said it last St. Nathan's, we did it. I think that's where that came from. But it was brilliant, like, to be the first club in Sligo to win a Connacht title. It was a great honour for the club to have. And we enjoyed all the celebrations that night anyway. And it was nice, actually. We went into the schools in the area, I think, following week. And it was just nice to, you know, get the excitement from the kids in the schools, which a lot of them went on to go and play. And we have played with them as well. So it was good.
That's fantastic. What sort of a gap then, folks? Did you mention that there was no All-Ireland semi-final? Is that right?
Yeah, we were due to play the British champions. They were meant to travel to Ireland for the All-Ireland semi-final. And I'm not, for some reason anyways, they conceded the game. And so it meant we... Yeah. Go on, Angela.
I think they said that they couldn't afford it. It was going to cost about 4,000 sterling to come over. And I think it was like the week beforehand they pulled out of it.
Okay. So that's a little bit of an unusual position for you to be in. And how much of a gap then was between the Connacht final and the All-Ireland final, can anyone remember?
It was a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it was about
7 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's a, Liam, from a management point of view, I mean, that's a bit of a nightmare, is it, to try and keep the team fresh and sharp at the same time?
Yeah, I suppose initially we were, you know, setting our sights on an All-Ireland semi-final, and then, you know, we get the word that this isn't happening and we're straight into an All-Ireland final. And, you know, on one hand you're saying, you know, you're kind of delighted we're in an All-Ireland final, and but then the reality hits, you know, we're not going to get games, we're going to have, you know, we have no tough challenge now leading into an All-Ireland final. I don't think we did get any challenge games. I think we tried to get a few, but I don't think anything materialised. If I'm right, maybe we got one game or something. So it was difficult. And, you know, you were working with a panel. As I said, the panel was only 23 players. So definitely I feel it did impact and affect our All-Ireland performance.
Yeah, yeah. Kathleen, what do you remember of that 7-week period?
Not an awful lot, only I imagine that we trained extremely hard. I suppose the thing is we were in uncharted territory. You know, and you know, once we discovered that we were straight into the final and it was Rockchapel, I suppose there was a nervousness about the fact that we were playing a Cork team. You know, because we knew how successful the Cork County team was, and there were a couple of Rockchapel girls on it. And you know, I know what happened sometime after it, but I mean, they actually went on then to win the intermediate club title the very next year. So, I mean, when you think back, you're sort of figuring, you know, they swept us aside in the junior title in 99 and then they won the intermediate in 2000. So I think it gave you an idea of the calibre of the team that they were. Yeah, we just worked hard in advance of the final. We did what was asked of us.
And Katrina, you've mentioned already the getting the flags and the bags ready for the Connacht final. That must have ramped up again to another level for the All-Ireland, did it?
Oh, God, yeah. There's a lot of fertilizer bags needed then. Yeah, I suppose it was maybe the 2 weeks beforehand, it was getting really exciting to know. So, Liam, was that the year that we were in a straight line all the time?
Yeah.
Possibly it was, yeah. It was one of those...
training.
Yeah. One of those training tactics at that stage. I don't know would we get away with it now or not, but yeah, good days.
We had great fun, though, training. I think that probably helped us a lot, too.
Yeah. I think every Santa hat in Sligo was bought as well, because we're red and white. Yeah. We got our Christmas and the final was on.
Very good. Two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
So, Rockchapel, as Kathleen has mentioned in the final, Cork Ladies Football, as we all know, and at that time, you know, the market leaders in ladies football at the time. What was the feeling? Presumably they were hot favourites going into the match. Would that be fair to say?
They probably were.
I think there would have been. I think they had the junior competition. The junior club was a new competition that had only been introduced a year or two before that, I gather, at All-Ireland Series. So I think Rockchapel had regraded from senior. Mm-hmm. There was no intermediate. Okay. So, you know, they were a good Cork team, and obviously anything coming out of Cork, so it was really a big, huge step up for us.
Yeah.
And then I suppose the weekend of the All-Ireland Club Final, the venue was changed the last minute. I'm not sure, was it late Saturday night or Sunday morning on our ways? There was a change of venue, you know, so all these things kind of stacked up against us, and then the weather, oh my God. there was a gale force wind that we I've never witnessed or been involved in football in anything like it. I know the weather was the same for both teams, but I think the occasion may have just got to us a little bit, particularly the support. I mean, we had support at the All-Ireland final that we never had witnessed before. When the team came out on the field, the crowd of people that travelled, those buses that travelled, and I mean, that was unheard of back in 99. Mm. And I think that possibly, impacted us. But, at the end of the day, we were a club from Sligo and first Connacht title, first All-Ireland title. And, half-time, we were a point up, but we played with the gale force wind. I think we lost it by 6 points. But, we put up it was a good show. Yeah. It was a good show.
Yeah. Where was the venue changed from, Liam? Can you remember?
It was played in Lusma. It was meant to be in Birr initially. It wasn't a huge change. It was moved out to a club pitch.
Yeah.
It was just a horrendous weather that whole weekend. But
yeah, I suppose from a management point of view, you're really hoping that the week of a game, everything runs like clockwork and smoothly. So that throws you out of kilter a little bit. Michelle, within the team, within the squad, did you all really believe that you could go all the way?
Yeah, I think so. We had a really great, strong team. You come from Katrina in goals. She had been playing brilliant all year. And then you had Louise Gormley, Rachel Gallagher, Mairead Cain in the full back line. Any of those three would go through anything, to save you. And then you had Yvonne Roddy and Idel Cain and Cammy Kennedy on the half-forward line. And they were excellent in the kind of engine of the team. Angela and Sinead Hughes at midfield would keep running and going all day. And then you had the likes of Kathleen, who was prolific scorer, and Therese Devaney, who was back at that stage. And the likes of Nicola Kennedy, Louise O'Donnell, would Aimer Gallagher get scores, for you all the time. So, you always had confidence, and we had a very strong subs bench as well. And Ed Cairns, Marie O'Donnell, any of those girls would do a job. You always had confidence, but you never know on any day how anybody is going to perform or how the occasion gets to you. So you're always hoping. And I suppose, anything, you need a little bit of luck on the day as well. And I don't think we had that little bit of luck on the day, but everybody gave 100% on the occasion.
Yeah. So playing with the wind, as Liam says, in the first half, Kathleen, what do you remember the first half?
But not an awful lot, to be honest. I just remember that when we went in at halftime with the lead, I suppose in the back of my mind, I was thinking we were playing with the wind. When we were going to turn around, it was going to make it hard for us to try and maintain that lead. And you were presuming that Rockchapel weren't going to score. So, I suppose in hindsight, we hadn't enough scored at halftime. But I remember from my own game, I had been going really, really well all year. And, the first couple of balls I missed, whoever was marking me made it to the ball first. And, and that really knocks back your confidence. And I suppose we were lucky in a way to be going in that point up. But I kind of felt at that time we're going to, need a Herculean effort in the second half. And unfortunately, it wasn't to be. But, this was still 113-17. I mean, it's not an annihilation. And as Liam said, it was the first team from Sligo to get to an All-Ireland final. We can be very proud of our achievements that year, and we learned a lot.
Yeah, so as you say, 6 points the margin, Angela, at the very end. So, that would suggest that you were in with a fighting chance right up to the very end. The disappointment, I'm sure, at the final whistle, when it does sound, I'm sure, is tough to take. But in the immediate aftermath, are you able at all to savour the occasion and the success of actually getting to the All-Ireland final?
Probably not immediately after. We were all very disappointed. I suppose when you get to an All-Ireland final, you want to win it, or sometimes you think this might be the only ever All-Ireland final I might ever get to. So you want to give it absolutely everything. So we were devastated after, and there was plenty of tears that day. But I remember there was a banquet, I think, for the two teams afterwards, and Katrina was actually announced as player of the match, which was probably very unusual for someone on a losing team to get player of the match. But that day she was absolutely outstanding. So I suppose that lifted all our spirits a bit when we seen that Katrina got that award. We were delighted for her.
So Katrina, you that, and that obviously helps the situation. And then I'm sure when you all come back to South Sligo afterwards, I'm sure the reception was good, Katrina?
Oh yeah, it was actually amazing. There was bonfires down in Mullins and the Knocknashee Inn. It was almost like we were treated like we won. Do you know, there was such a great welcome for us, and it was so nice. And I suppose I don't actually remember doing a whole lot in that match. I do remember, you were mentioning the first half and the kick out or the wind. I do remember that there was a couple of long kickouts. The wind did help there. But no, it was a bit of a shock now to have won that. But it was really nice for us to have had something coming home. So
Yeah. And Liam, in terms of an overall club picture, reaching an All-Ireland final, winning a Connacht title, it can have a real lasting impact, can't it, down through the years in terms of establishing that base for what was a relatively young club and in ladies football in Sligo. And I suppose now with the benefit of hindsight in the last 20 years, we can see what St. Nathie's have achieved at an intermediate and senior level.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, you know, I think Angela said earlier about, you know, the like of Noel as a young under 12 going to the games. I mean, going to the schools after winning the Connacht final, you know, all the local national schools and the secondary school, it kind of showed the girls in these schools, you know, that ladies football is available to you. And we did find in the, you know, the next year or the next 2 or 3 years, a huge increase in the number of underage players joining the club. And I mean, all those girls, and you know, you mentioned Angela there, Angela's still playing adult football with the club. So when you have the like of Angela continuing through, and a lot of the players that would have been on that team are involved in some capacity in the club, either underage training, Louise O'Donnell is involved there, underage training, quite a few people still involved. So yeah, it definitely got the, it set the wheels really for it set the foundation. It's the foundation the club has been built on, and you know, it's just gone from strength to strength.
Yeah, and a campaign like this and memories like this and successes like this, Michelle, do kind of bond that team together, don't they? Even though it's, what, 21 years ago now? 22?
Yeah, definitely. It's the ties that bind. Like I'm living in Mayo now, so I wouldn't see people as regularly as you'd like to see them. But I always kind of make it my business to try and get home for Nathie's games if I can. And, you know, you meet these girls at different events and different occasions, and you know, you'll have the general chit-chat, but then you'll go back to, do you remember the day when? And those memories will last forever, and those experiences, and you know, having enjoyed that experience and come through all that together, it's something that you'll never lose. And those friendships are, you know, everlasting, you know, and it's a wonderful bond to have with those girls.
Mm. Like Angela, after all those years playing since the foundation of the club, is this the year that stands out, or you have had some other successes, of course, along the way, but I'm sure 99 holds particularly special memories.
Yes, 99 would. You know, getting to an All Ireland final, winning the first ever Connacht title for a Sligo team. And as we said, we were a very tight-knit group of people, and a lot of us are still involved. And as Michelle said, we do go reminiscing about and having a good laugh. About different stories and things like that, and but yeah, 99 is, yeah, it's a special year within the club, definitely.
I suppose just a little thing from my perspective, I suppose I didn't start playing Gaelic football until I was 27 years old. So when the, you know, I was a late comer to the game, but I suppose, you know, all of the Nathie's girls, I was probably at least 10 years older than any of the rest of the teams. Now, I know my sister was 5 years younger than me, but at the same time, we were both the older lemons on the team. And, you know, because we didn't come from within the catchment area, the friendships that we made at that time have stood the test of time, you know, and it's testament to the, I suppose, the camaraderie, really, of everybody, that it really didn't matter what age you were. Like I remember Tati, Noel Gormley, coming in for the All-Ireland final. And you were saying, was she 13 or was she 14? Was she 13 maybe that year, in 99?
No, she was only under 12.
No, she had been under 12, yeah, I'd say. 12.
But like, you know, I was 27 years, I was whatever I was at that time. I was a lifetime older than her. But like the friendship that we had and the laughs that we had, I mean, they're memories that I'm never going to forget.
Yeah, and arguably more important than trophies at the end of the day.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I suppose just, you know, I know Michelle mentioned there, you know, the late Father Paddy Kilcoyne that founded the club. I think it's important on occasions like this that we remember, you know, the founding members for the Paddy and all, Anne-Marie Gorman, Breach, Marie O'Donnell, Nuala Rooney, all these people, Bernie Groke, you know, that would have served in the early committees. And, you know, underage, I started off with under 14 with Tommy Kilcoyne and Tom Kane, and, you know, they would have served in management a long, long time down the years at underage and that. And it's important that James Fine and Father Paddy himself managed the First Ladies team, you know, and all the other managers and everybody that has been involved in the club, that has made the club to what it is today. I think it's important we remember those. I think most important, then finally, that we remember all the people that would have been great supporters, family members, etc., that's no longer with us, that would have travelled in 99 all over the country with us. It's important, you know, just to take the occasion and remember those this evening also.
And that's the voice of Liam McDonough rounding off our chat on St. Nathie's year in 1999. My thanks to Liam, Angela, Michelle, Katrina and Kathleen for joining us. And before we go, a reminder that you can find all of the Glory Days podcast to date on your preferred podcast platform. Simply search for Ocean FM Ireland. Thanks for joining us.